Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, if you will. Judges chapter number 4. Judges chapter number 4. I appreciate the songs. The song service thus far has been a blessing to my heart. Amen. And I appreciate those that are here in attendance. And as I said already, those God's moving on and using people. And I'm excited about that. And thank God for His blessings. Amen. And I do appreciate my father-in-law coming with us. Amen. And when I first decided that I was going to make that turnaround, and of course we had talked about if the wedding yesterday was at 1 o'clock, and if we could get out by 4 o'clock, then we could get here by midnight, and our time here, and sure enough, we were able to do that. But I was thinking if I could have somebody drive back with me, I knew it would make it hard on Melissa to make that turnaround. And I didn't want to require her to do that. And plus, by her staying there, that means tomorrow she gets to work an extra day without me. Amen. She can get a lot done when I'm out of her way. And anyway, I thought that would be a blessing. And so I mentioned it about one of my boys or my father-in-law. And my father-in-law was able to work that out. So that's a blessing. And I appreciate it. And we've had good fellowship. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I'm going to preach this morning out of this text, and I'm going to preach what I'm calling my Mother's Day sermon today. I'm not going to be here for Mother's Day, and so I'm going to preach to the mother a little bit out of the book of Judges. I'm not going to use Deborah, but I'm going to use somebody pretty close. Brother Steve got close to it. In verse number 17 of the book of Judges, chapter number 4, and I don't know how the Sunday school lesson went to the ladies. I know Ms. Bell was going to be teaching on quick-temperedness, I guess, or dealing with your temper. So don't y'all fly off the handle at me while I'm preaching to you this morning. And recall that. I hope things went well there. And I know from the way she's acting. A lot of times, I know when we had to deal with things, you have to live what you teach and what you preach. And sometimes it comes in on us. Amen. But that helps us. It does help us. And so what I'm going to be preaching this morning is going to deal with the mother and a thought on that. All right. Verse 17 of Judges chapter 4, the Bible said, "Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. And there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, 'Turn in, my lord, to me.'" That's right. "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not." And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of water and gave him drink and covered him. And again he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, 'Is there any man here?' that thou shalt say, 'No.' Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples." And don't y'all go getting ideas right there. "And fastened it into the ground. And he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, 'Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest.' And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. The hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Doug Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the
yes, we do. We do thank you, Lord.
All that's been said and done thus far in song and in the Sunday school hour. I pray for Pastor Shepherd as he stands.
Help us, Lord.
The word
yes.
of God you've laid upon his heart. Speak to our hearts through thy word. And we ask and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank God for that prayer. Let me give you just a little bit of introduction before I give you my title. And then go. Sometimes a sermon, the best thing about a sermon is a title. I've heard some. That's all I got from it. Amen. I hope you get a little bit more from that today. But before I give you my title, let me give you the context of Scripture. Most of you probably know it well. We just studied it sometime back in Sunday school as Brother Vincent went through this section. But it deals with the portion of Scripture that deals with the story of Barak and Deborah. Barak is the judge that makes it in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. He is mentioned there in name. But we see in the story, you know, that Sisera is that wicked king, wicked general of the King Jabin that has come up against Israel. And it's a very harsh siege and assailment against the people of Israel. And God raises up Barak. And of course, Barak wouldn't go until Deborah spoke up and told him how he needed to go. And then Barak said the only way he would go is if Deborah would go along with him. Now, apparently he might have been afraid that he didn't have enough strength for the battle. And here, I don't think that he thought Deborah had the strength, but I think that Deborah represented to him the hand of God. He heard from God through Deborah, and I believe Deborah represented to him, if she was there, that represented to him that God would be there. And so Deborah said, "All right, I'll go with you, but," she said, "it's not going to be to your honor." She said, matter of fact, God's going to not give the victory into your hand, but He's going to give the victory into the hand of a woman. Amen. And so Jael happens to be that woman that God used. Amen. And she's from our text here. God used this woman to get the job done. Now, allow me to give you the story and teach it in expository fashion before I get to my points and my thought. Look at verse number 17. Sisera is that general. They're on their chariots of iron, and there's a number of these chariots that they're mighty. And as was mentioned in Sunday school, you can study in history, those chariots, they say, had knives on the wheels, and as they drove those, they would ride and they would just cut the legs right out from under the soldiers, or just cut the legs right out from under the horses, whatever they were battling. Those chariots had such great power, and that's what they were trusting in. But God let it rain all night, and God let the field get muddy and marshy, and it stopped the riding of the chariots. Amen. And so Barak and his men ran down barefoot. Amen. And they ran down and battled them, and the Bible said God discomfited them, and God gave the victory. But in verse number 17, old Sisera that had trusted in that chariot jumped out of the chariot. The Bible said he fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael. So he exited the battle chariot and fled on foot away from the battlefield. Not towards the battlefield, but away from the battlefield. Amen. He's like a lot of those Muslims. He's hollering, "Fight till you die," while he's running. Amen. And these guys, they make these videos and they say, "Death to America," while they're hiding in their caves. Yeah. Amen. Amen now. Sisera's running for his life. He's running to the tent of a woman, by the way. Amen. And he's running in the direction, the Bible says, of Jael's tent. Verse number 17 again. "Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite." Now some don't know whether or not he knew that he was going to her tent, that it would be a peaceful tent. But the way the scripture lays it out, it looks like he must have known that there was peace. At least there was no problem between these two. But he runs, whether or not he intended to go to her tent, that's the direction in which he is running towards her tent. Look at verse 18. "And Jael went out to meet Sisera." So she saw him coming, and she stepped out to the door and invited him in. Verse 18. "And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, 'Turn in, my Lord, turn in to me. Fear not.' And when he had turned in unto her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle." So she went out to him and invited him into her tent, promising him safety and even covering him with a rug, if you want to say it that way. Because some scholars say the mantle was probably a goat-haired rug that would have laid on the floor, would have been very common in the tents, especially in the women's tents. Amen. Now, listen, it was not considered appropriate for a strange man to go into a woman's tent. The tents were so marked and it was the custom of the day. The men had their tent and the women had theirs. You remember that Abraham talked to Sarah and Sarah was in her tent. You remember that Isaac took Rebekah and took her into his mother's tent. And so the wives had their own tent, was separate from the men's tents. That's where they washed the dishes. That's where they vacuumed the floors. That's where they did all the stuff that, amen, in the women's tent. And the man had his cave, if you want to call it that, amen. But it was not appropriate for this, especially a strange man, to go into a woman's tent, the tent of another man's wife. But she had invited him in. She had promised him safely, amen. And this was probably one of the last places that the Israelite soldiers would have looked for a general to be hiding, amen. And so Sisera went in and laid down. Now, some commentators argue that Jael was being deceitful and conniving in promising him safety and then killing him like she did. But women have the prerogative to change their mind. I've been told that a few times. Amen. I am funny. I don't intend to be so funny, but here's what I don't know that she was deceitful and conniving. And this is my personal opinion. I think that it is possible that she intended on hiding him, that she intended on giving him safety until God gave her the thought that she ought to destroy this man and that it be in God's will for him to be defeated. I believe that's right. And possibly she intended to hide him, by the way, because if she just intended on killing him, then when he was asleep, she could have stepped out of the tent and said, "Hey, Barrett, over here he is. He's asleep like a big dummy." Amen. But she didn't. She killed him. Why? I believe because God changed her mind. Amen. About that thing. And I'll give you more about that. Verse number 19. You see, as we go verse by verse, he asked her for water. He said, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. So she gave him a bottle of milk and covered him back up. Verse number 20. And again he said to her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, 'Is there any man here?' Then thou shalt say, 'No.'" Amen. Now, Sisera, according to verse 20, Sisera instructed Jael to stand by the door and be prepared to lie about his presence. He said, "When somebody comes, you tell them a bold-faced lie. You tell them a blatant lie." Verse number 21. I'll say more about that in a moment when I get in my sermon. Verse number 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it on the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Now, so it looks like when God moved upon Jael that Sisera was no friend and was not just a weary soldier, but rather he was an enemy. Then she took a nail or a tent stake and hammered it into the head of the sleeping Sisera. Here's the way I remember it. Jael took a nail, amen, and did end the enemy of the people of God. Amen. Now, before you cringe too much, about the cruelty that was extended to Sisera, I mean, he's asleep like a baby. He's just drunk milk. He's just been covered up. She may have been humming a lullaby when she covered him up. And he's fast asleep. And you say, "Boy, this is cruel." She takes a nail or a tent stake and a hammer and she drives it through his temple. But I want to tell you, Sisera was a cruel man. He intended cruelty to the people of Israel. He had been inflicting cruelty on the people of Israel. Matter of fact, in the Song of Deborah, in the next chapter, when Deborah's singing about the fact that Sisera's dead at the hand of Jael, she talks about Sisera's mother looking out the window and wondering where Sisera's at, and Sisera's own mother is boasting that he's probably out raping women. That's how cruel he was. He was so cruel that his mama thought that was a mark of his greatness, was that he could rape women after he defeated their husbands in war. So he was a cruel man. And I'm going to tell you, if you dish out cruelty, it'll come back to you one day. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want some peace, you better sow some peace. If you want some forgiveness, you better sow some forgiveness. Amen. If you want mercy, the Bible said, you better be merciful. Amen. I believe that's right. Well, look at verse number 22. And behold, Barak pursued Sisera. As Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. When he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. And all of a sudden, he wanted to see Jael's nails, make sure she didn't have any more nails in her hand. Amen. Sisera was dead. Jael calls out to the captain of the Lord's host, the army of Israel. She calls out to them and she says, come in and see his carcass. Amen. Again, if she had not been prompted of God to end it in this man's life, then she could have just simply turned over the sleeping general to this man and he could have killed it. Now, let me say this as I prepare this message and thinking about Mother's Day coming up. That was a thought that I had in dealing with mothers and thinking about that. I want to preach using this text. I want to preach on this thought. God bless the mother that has some things nailed down. Amen. God bless the mother that has some things nailed down. Amen. Now, I'm not referring to the fact that mothers need to start driving nails through the temples of people. Amen. Your children make you mad. You may want to do that. Amen. I was sort of joking, brother Bale, about his father, you know, falling and breaking his neck, really, in that. And then he didn't tell anybody for so long. And he went on to the hospital, and they had to find it. I said, then y'all wanted to break his neck because he didn't tell you. And I remember the mother, the little boy fell off the porch, you know, got hurt. He's laying there, and she runs over to him, and she says, please tell me you're all right because I'm going to kill you if you're all right. This act of Jael driving the nail through his head was definitely an act of cruelty, but it was an act of war. Amen. And I am saying that what we need is we need some godly mothers that are courageous women. Amen. We need some godly mothers that will stand up to benefit their home. That's the point that I'm looking at. I recognize that every woman's not a mother. I do understand that some women may never have children of their own. And yet every woman ought to have some motherly characteristics about herself. I study the scripture about Jael, and I cannot prove to you from the Bible that Jael was a mother. But I can prove to you she is a wife. Heber was her husband's name. I don't know if she had children. The Bible does not tell us if she had children. But she has some motherly characteristics. And you can see it as she brings in this man. She offers him shelter. She offers him comfort. She offers him safety. She offers him milk from the bottle. She covers him up. All that, all those are motherly characteristics. And I'm saying we need some more motherly characteristics in women today. Amen. And this is not in my sermon. But I am fed up to hear with these mothers that want to be men. These women that want to be men, they want to get their tattoos, amen. They want to be able to put on their britches. They want to be able to act like men. And they want to be able to cuss like sailors. God help us, amen. Deliver us from such women, amen. God deliver us from such women. I didn't mean to get up on that, but that's right. Amen. Let me give you four things about the mother that has things nailed down. I see it in Jael. First of all, she was not afraid to stay in her place. Verse number 17 and 18, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet him. So she was in the tent where she was supposed to be when he came by. Amen. She was where she belonged. Amen. She was not out on the workforce. Amen. She was not out gallivanting around gossiping with the neighbors. Amen. She was not out being a busybody. She was not out running around on her husband. She was where she was supposed to be. Amen. She was in her place, and God blessed it by her being in her place. Amen. Now, I recognize the society we live in. I recognize, and I've said it before, and I don't mean to get harsh. And by the way, if a lady works, I don't think less of you. I understand some things in my mind, but I also know what the Bible says, and I got to preach the Bible. Amen. And same thing I can say about a number of things that I don't necessarily agree with. And I know the Bible, and we say, but it's custom today. I understand that, but the Bible's still the Bible. And it'll still be right till Jesus comes. Amen. And even after that, it'll still be right. Amen. But here's my thing. I understand that in the culture we live in, that you can't have cell phones and cable TV and carpet on the floor and all the luxuries unless both work. I understand that. But God never said we had to have all those luxuries. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm not sure that our children didn't turn out better before we had all those luxuries, when they did have mom at home. Amen. And I understand God gave the child to you. I think about Stephanie over here carrying that child, and it gets more and more evident that she's carrying that child. It won't be long till it'll be even more evident, because we'll not only see its presence there, but we'll hear about it. Amen. And they'll be passing it around, and everybody will be hooing and on over the baby. But God gave it to her to carry. He didn't give it to everybody else. Amen. And I'm not just singling her out, but I'm saying that's the way it is. God gave the mother the child. I believe the mother ought to be there with the child, teaching the child, training the child, loving the child, and seeing that child to Jesus. Amen. She stayed in her place. Amen. God bless it. We need more mothers who will attempt to make men out of their boys rather than men out of their girls. Amen. And sissies out of their boys. Amen. Mothers have a great opportunity to instruct their boys and girls how to behave properly. Amen. Amen. You know how children learn to sit still? By being made to sit still. They don't come natural. I remember when my brother and I would go to my grandparents' house. In my grandparents' house, you weren't allowed to cut up. You didn't run around and play and carry on. You were supposed to sit still and be almost out of sight, out of mind until spoken to. That's the way we was raised as children. I'm just telling you. And I remember going, it was so hard for us not to pick on each other. It's so hard for us not to get in a fight, or at least wrestle and pretend like we was fighting. The only thing better than really fighting is pretending like you're fighting. Say amen right there. With your kids. But we just thought it was the hardest thing to be, sit there and be still and be quiet. But buddy, I'm going to tell you, it's better than what the results was if you disobeyed. Amen. Well, they learn that. Mothers have a great opportunity. And because of the neglect that is in our homes today, our modern world is suffering because of that neglect. Amen. Amen. Well, I just believe that's right. She was not afraid to be in her place at home. Number two, she was hospitable and friendly. Look at verses 18 and 19. Jael went out to meet him. Oh, she was nice to him. Went out to meet him and said to him, "Turn in, my Lord, turn in to me. Fear not." And when he turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said to her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of water and gave him drink and covered him. She offered comfort. She offered friendliness. And she offered safety to the one she saw fleeing for his life. Now, can you picture this with me? We read this and we know the story from start to finish. But she's living it. I don't know if she knows this is Sisera. He's running, fleeing from the battle. How does she know this is the general? He ain't acting like no general right now. Amen. How does she know that he's some big bad dude? All she knows, he's a soldier fleeing from the battlefield. She may have thought he's a wounded soldier, perhaps. Her heart may have gone out to him when she sees him in that position. I don't know the fact, but she sees him fleeing for his life. Amen. Maybe she saw a soldier who was faint, a soldier who was weary, a soldier who was being pursued. And so her motherly instincts went out to him, and she offered him comfort, and she offers him friendliness, and she offers him safety. Amen. By the way, there was a time, and I don't mean to be hard on, I hope I'm not being hard. By the way, if you don't measure up to some of this, you can work on it, and you can get there by the grace of God. Amen. But there was a time when women were considered soft-spoken and tender-hearted. That's why women were nurses rather than men. Nursing, that's a womanly thing, by the way. Amen. They have a comfort and a care and a friendliness. Amen. The doctor says, you need to swallow these pills. And the nurse says, here, I'll give you some water and I'll help you. And this will make you feel better. And I'll put a Band-Aid on it when it's all done. You know, I mean, they have that, just that ability in them, that motherly, whether they're a mother or not, just that female has that motherly instinct that comes through them, and there's a friendliness, there's a comfort, there's a soft-spokenness, there's a tender-heartedness, amen. But we've come to a point when a lot of women are loud and coarse and crude and downright mean-spirited, amen. The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is characterized as being kind. That's one of the things about her. Proverbs 31 verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Amen. God give us some women like that again. Amen. I recognize the world's coarse. I recognize the world's crude. I recognize the world's cruel. But in the house of God, the saints of God don't have to be coarse and crude and cruel. Amen. We can be caring. Thank God. Amen. Comforting. J.L. made Sisera comfortable by covering him up, giving him milk, and watching guard over him. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to move on. I don't mean, but it's all right here. This thing about mothers. This J.L. made him comfortable, covered him up, gave him milk, and watched guard over him. Mothers have the responsibility. Mothers now have the responsibility to see that their children are properly clothed. Amen. Warm clothes in the winter. Amen. Shoes on. We used to have a family, and kids would come to church bare feet, come to church bare in snow on the ground, and the mother would say, "I can't keep shoes on that 2-year-old." I Brother Rick, I doubt the Marines have a problem keeping shoes on. People? Amen. You say, well, I don't want to be that tough. You may have to be that tough because you're going to keep their toes from getting frostbite. Amen. You're trying to keep them clothed properly. That's the job of a mother. Amen. I recognize they get in the house and they may kick their shoes off and all that. I understand that. So, but I'm talking about you see that they're properly clothed, that they've got the right kind of clothes on based on the weather, but also that they got modesty at all times. Amen. And that ought to be a part of the mother to see that they're neat and they're clean and they're modest. Amen. If the boys come in and they look like they just climbed out of the washing machine and was drip dried, are you listening to me now? That's a bad statement to mama. Amen. But if they look neatly pressed, I understand kids getting dirty. Amen. Boy, I know how that is. Amen. It takes a lot of elbow grease to get grass stain out of knee breeches. Knees of breeches. Mama used to use that. She used up all her elbow grease on the other side of that young un before she started working on the grass stain on the britches. Amen. She would. She'd wear us out. All right. I understand children, they get messy. And it's, if they're boys, they're worse than girls. Y'all women can say amen. I am saying one thing in your favor. That's one. Boys are worse than girls. They're just messy. The things they like to do make a mess. That's why God says it's not good to man be alone. He needs a woman. Amen. Melissa asked me this morning, she said, are you missing me? I said, I surely am. I have to iron my own shirt. Amen. And if I don't match, don't tell her. Amen. Children play and they get dirty. That's understandable. But when children are seen in public and their faces are dirty and their hair is not just as uncombed, it's never been combed. Amen. It's amazing. Some women spend hours on their own face and never glance at their children's face. Oh, my. Amen. Well, Lord, help us. Sometimes, what is a picture of? It's a picture of a preoccupied, sloppy, uncaring personality. Amen. And really, that's what sometimes it is. I don't mean to be hard. But that's right. She was not afraid to be in her place. Number two, she was hospitable and friendly. And by the way, if you want to know, you say, preacher, you're ill. I'm not ill. I'm happy. But I went to a wedding yesterday, and when you see weddings, it makes you graded, buddy. That verse of Scripture, when God brought Adam and Eve together, the Bible said, and they were naked. That's how most weddings are, buddy. There's a whole lot of nakedness. Even in weddings that they brag on the modesty, sometimes there ain't a lot of modesty in the clothing that's there. Amen. Amen. Lord help us. That's right. Number three, she was willing to be kind to Sisera, but she would not lie for him. There, I believe, is the turning point. That's the turning point I see in this picture. And I believe in this case of a mother. Mothers ought to be kind. They ought to be tender-hearted. They ought to be soft-spoken. But you look here at verse 20 and 21. And again, he said, all right, and he's asking her for something. She did it. Verse number 20. And again, he said, her, stand in the door of the tent. You notice before he was saying, let me back up verse number 19, his first request. And he said to her, give me, look at this word, I pray thee. You know what that is? That's pretty please. Would you be kind enough to get me a drink of water? And she did. But look at verse 20. And it's how men do. They start on, oh boy, they're kind. And all of a sudden, give it to me. I want it now. And again he said to her, stand in the door of the tent. Ain't no if you please. Ain't no, would you? I pray thee. No, he just said, stand in the door of the tent. That doesn't sound like a question. It sounds like a command. Maybe right there is where she realized he's the general. Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when a man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Then thou shalt say, no. Right there is the turn. Look at verse 21. Then J.L. Heber's wife took a nail. Right there, right then. All of a sudden, and by the way, fellas, they'll do a lot more for you if you can say please now and then. If you can be nice. Flowers go a long way. Roses cover a multitude of sin. Amen. I'm being a little facetious. But this woman, there was a turning point in her story. And here's what I believe. I believe she was willing to be kind to him until she realized this is not just a wounded soldier. This is not just a man fleeing for his life. This is the enemy. This is the enemy. It appears that when Sisera asked or commanded for Jael to stand in the tent door watching for his enemy, then he commanded her to lie about his presence when asked. That might have been when Jael recognized this man is evil. Now listen, perk up your ears right here, young ladies. When boys start asking to do things that you know are wrong, when they just start suggesting it, maybe they're saying, I know you never would, but listen, when they start suggesting you do something you know is wrong, they're not the right kind of boy. Amen. They're the wrong kind of boy. All of a sudden, I don't care how suave he looks. I don't care how sweet he talks. I don't care how he smells. There's other times he'll look different, talk different, and smell different. Amen. And the truth is, he's done all that maybe to cover up what he really is. Amen. Amen. He asked her to do something that was wrong. Now, we need mothers that love their family, but they won't lie for them. Amen. We need mothers that will love their children, love their family, love their home, but they won't lie for them. They won't cover up for them. They won't excuse their wicked behavior. I see it all the time, and you do too. Little Junior does something wrong, and rather than getting the swat on the behind, he gets laughed at. Oh, that's just so cute. No, it ain't cute. It's going to get worse. My father-in-law knows of a story situation where parents would laugh at their children for cursing other parents. They'd use curse words and they'd laugh at them. And I'm going to tell you what, those curse words come back one day. Amen. They'll cuss the parents. Amen. And it's not sweet and it's not funny when they do. And it wasn't when the first time when you laughed about it either. Amen. And we need mothers that will stand up for what's right. They ought to uphold the righteousness of God. Amen. They ought to uphold the responsibility of every individual to obey the Lord and be a good citizen. Amen. Jael had previously seemed to have embraced Sisera and consoled him in every way possible until she realized he's the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. When she realized he was the enemy, she attacked him with a vengeance. Verse 21, right after he went through that thing, saying, lie for me. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. She nailed it down. He was wrong. He was wicked. He was ungodly. And she drove that nail through his temples and left him there for dead. Amen. She had previously embraced him. I got to think about that. A lot of families have embraced things and even welcomed them into their home. Amen. Bored little holes in the wall so they can run that cable in. And I said it here from the pulpit sometime back. It is amazing how much filth can fit in a little cable about that size. Amen. They'll welcome that into the home. They have embraced it. They may have found their favorite shows on there. They may have found their favorite things to look at, to listen to, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, there'll come a day, by the grace of God, you'll recognize that thing's not your friend. It is an enemy of the home. Amen. It is going to hurt your family. It's going to hinder your family. It may lead them in the wrong direction. Amen. They may wind up one day under the cover of something else, gone to another state, gone to another place. You don't even know where they're at and what's going on. Amen. Jael had previously embraced him, but when she realized he was the enemy, she took a nail and drove it through his skull. Amen. We need mothers like that, don't we? Amen. In our homes across our land, we need mothers like that. Amen. Mothers that will stand firmly against it, even though they may have embraced it in the past, because they recognize that it hurts their home. Listen, I believe that mothers can be the strength of our home and our civilization. Amen. Amen. Women can be, and they are supposed to be, a moralizing, moral, not demoralizing, an amoral, I know it's wrong. They are to be a moralizing effect on our society. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to move off of it and get to my last point. You remember in, was it like 1849, wasn't that when they ran off to the West Coast for gold? They had the big gold strike. And you know who went for gold? The men did. They left their wives, they left their daughters back on the east, and they ran off for gold. And they built cities, and they had some little bit of, a lot of them was just rough camps, and if you've ever seen pictures of them, they were nasty, they were filthy, because they were men. Amen. And when women started coming in, you know what they found out? Those men were demoralized. They were not only filthy in the flesh, they had filthy desires. They had filthy opinions of womanhood. Amen. And they had filthy opinions of the world. And you know why? Because there was no motherly influence on them. God give us some homes that's got the mother's influence back in there again, where the mother's loving those children and teaching those children to behave and love one another and have a good society again. Amen. Amen. Well, when mothers stand on the Word of God, it'll help our society and it'll help our home. I believe it's right. My last point was she stood firm against the enemy. Verse 21, she took that nail and drove it through his temple. Now, Jael did not have a sword and she did not have a spear. She was a wife, not a soldier. Boy, I could plug that too. God help us. These girls want to be soldiers. Amen. God help us. I'd hate to have to say yes, sir, to a woman. And sometimes you ain't sure. Amen. Oh, Lord help. Amen. She was a mother. She wasn't a soldier. Amen. She didn't have swords and she didn't have spears, but she did have the tent peg. I believe that's what, I know it's because of the nail, but from what I've read, it was customary that the women were the ones actually that drove in those stubs and set up the tents. The men would go out hunting, or the men would go out and gather things, and they were involved with other things, and the wife was the homemaker. Does that sound reasonable? That makes sense. So she used what she had. Amen. She used what she had. I thought yesterday when they were at that wedding and they was getting ready to cut the cake. That's how they do the, you know, first thing, they send everybody in there to go ahead and have the reception, and the bride and groom come last because they've been in there taking pictures for 2 hours. And they come out, and the first thing they say, and they ain't even eaten yet, they say, y'all got to cut the cake. Why? Because everybody else wants some. And they hand the knife. Who do they hand it to? The wrong person? Her. Amen. And I thought when Brendan reached over and put his hand on the knife, I thought, boy, you better hang on to that knife good. Amen. Because they're going to start feeding each other cake, and it's going to get nasty around here. Amen. And anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it's right. This woman just had her women's stuff. She just had her tent stake and her hammer that she had there. And I recognize women today don't necessarily have hammers and nails. But she used what she had to stand for God and to stand for the people of God. Amen. When she went out, there was peace. There was a treaty. They were not at war with this enemy, but this enemy was at war with the people of God. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy of the people of God is my enemy and is your enemy. Amen. I mean, if our nation had any sense, any logic about them again, they'd recognize that the churches of our land that are preaching what's right are standing for your home, whether or not you're a member of their church or whether or not you agree with what they've got to say. They're standing for your homes. Amen. The enemy of God's people is the enemy of the home, and he's your enemy. Amen. She used what she had to take a stand for the people of God and the God of the Bible. Amen. We need mothers today that'll teach their children the songs of God. Amen. When I asked Sister Jennifer if she'd sing, I didn't know that she's going to have her boys sing with her. I'm glad she did. That fits right in here. We need mothers to teach their children the songs of God. Amen. Children ought to learn at their mother's knee to sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Amen. They ought to learn at their mother's knee the things of God and the songs of God. And matter of fact, if you'd sing those songs around the house a little bit, they'd know them when they get to church. Amen. That's right. Now they ought to teach them the Bible. Amen. They ought to be reading them the Bible. They ought to teach them to love God, to love the church of God, to hate the devil and the world. Amen. Sad, some mothers are pumping country music in their children's ears. They're pumping rock and roll music in their children's ears. They're pumping wicked, ungodly rap and all this mess that's out there, heavy metal, and all this mess that's out there in the world. They're pumping it in the ears of their children. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're doing to harm your child when you're doing such stuff as that. You ought to be singing the songs of Zion. Amen. Amen. Well, we don't need mothers who paint up like Hollywood, dress like a streetwalker, or curse like a sailor. We need godly mothers that'll stand firm against the enemy of the home and against the enemy of the soul. Amen. Amen. Now, I know this has been just a little bit rough. I don't mean to, but this Bible holds up such a high standard for motherhood, and our society's gone so far from it that just a little glimpse of it sometimes causes us to cringe. We got a long way to go to meet this Bible. I'm talking about men and women, by the way. And ladies, if you'll stay with me, next month's Father's Day. Amen. Far as I know, I'll be here on Father's Day, so they'll get a good dose of it. Amen. But God help us to get turned back towards God. Turn back towards the Word of God. Amen. And recognize that it'll be a help to our home. It might cost us something financially. It might cost us something as far as our neighbors think and how they look at us. I know they mock people for homeschooling. I understand that. They mock people for trying to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They mock people for trying to make them dress right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when it gets to the judgment day, you'll be glad for what you did for God. Amen. That don't mean that every child's going to turn out right, but I'm going to tell you what, they got a lot better chance if you do than if you don't teach them in the way that's right. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Lord, these thoughts on Jael, the mother that nailed down some things. Just a little play on the words, but Lord, I want to thank you for my mother. Just had some convictions and she was not going to move. And her mother before her, Lord, that had those convictions. My dad's mother. Lord, I want to thank you for a heritage. Lord, I want to thank you for my wife that had some things nailed down. She was and is in a lot of ways much stronger disciplinarian than I am. I didn't have to fight her about dressing right. All we had to do was just see it ourselves, and we agreed to it, that it was right. I didn't have to fight her to pull her off the job. She saw it and agreed to it. I didn't have to fight her to homeschool. Lord, I want to thank you for all those. Lord, I look around. My father-in-law and I were talking about it this morning. Lord, we look around and we see how this generation's going. And it breaks our heart. And we wonder, what chance do the children have? Lord, I pray for grace. Lord, I pray for conviction. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd help us. We'd fall in line with the Word of God, no matter what anybody else says. No matter how hard it is. No matter what we have to put up with. Help us, dear God, to do our best to fall in line with the Word of God and trust you to do the work. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation time according to thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you need to come, the altar's open while we sing.